Hey everybody, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarin. I'm joined by my hot tub buddy, Rich Stambolian.
Oh, you know it. We talked about this before we went on air. There's going to be a tub involved, and tub men will happen sooner than later. It's summertime. We'll set some cameras out in the backyard. It's going to be fun. Do a little slip and slide.
Yeah, listen, I got a kiddie pool, so we could just do it in the kiddie pool. It's what they do on Twitch now. Do you know about this on Twitch?
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard about this? You know about this? I'm turning into Jay Leno now. Have you heard about this? You know about like the Twitch babes and what like the pool gimmick that they do? So they put on bikinis and they get into pool, like kiddie pools filled with like nothing in their bedrooms, and they're streaming on there. So I went on Twitch right now. There's like 45,000 people watching this one girl. Unbelievable. I think that's what we need to start doing. That's the new angle here. That's what we're going to do.
Just us, though.
Just us. Yeah.
You want to alienate everybody, our entire fan base. You know what? They'll like it. I think the people who tune in regularly are really excited for Tubman.
Listen, I think they'd be very excited for it. Guys, this show is all about professional wrestling. We have a lot of news to talk about. Obviously, some aftermath of the Vince McMahon situation with WWE, the board of directors, the corporate shuffle that's happening over there, Triple H possibly getting more power with NXT and other things as well. What? What happened?
The Triple H.
Okay,
thing.
I thought I missed something.
No.
I have camouflaged into my chair today. So I'll let everybody know what's going on before we go into the news. I fractured my freaking hip. I fell about 6 weeks ago. I had a slip and fall. My daughter spilled water everywhere, so I didn't know. I didn't realize it was late at night, and I freaking flipped back and I fell right on my hip. It wasn't bad. It felt like nothing. And then gradually it just got worse. And here I am now with a fractured hip that I may need to get surgery on. So I just came back. I did an MRI. I've seen the doctor. I'm waiting to see another specialist. So we'll find out. You think I'm going to get surgery? What do you think is going on?
I think you'll be fine. But I wish you a speedy recovery. I wish you told the real story, and you should tell the boys down at the docks to be a little easier on you from now on.
They're too rough. They're too much rough play, man.
They're knocking my friend around too much.
No, they said pretty much like a month. Well, they do recommend, the doctor that I saw recommended surgery, but I need to go see like another specialist, you know?
Yeah.
But they pretty much said like, you got to be off your feet for like at least a month. So I'm going to see what happens.
Right. I mean, you don't have to travel into the city now, so that's good for you.
Dude, I still need to go. I think I'm going to Uber there to get like some of my shit like once or twice a week to get some work done, you know? But it's a fun journey I'm on right now. Not so fun journey, I should say.
You'll be fine. You didn't need surgery when you said you broke your clavicle last year.
No, I did not need surgery when I broke my I separated my shoulder from my clavicle.
Okay.
It wasn't a broken clavicle, thank God. But
yeah.
We'll see what happens. A lot of news going on. Tons of news. Rich, you want to go into this? Because it's been such a crazy 2 weeks for pro wrestling where you pick where to start.
So this week, the news simmered down just a little bit, but, you know, the repercussions are being felt with the Vince McMahon situation, and Vince McMahon has officially stepped down as chairman and CEO of WWE. Steph named his replacement on an interim basis.
Yeah, Stephanie McMahon, interim chairwoman and CEO of WWE. John Laurinaitis placed on administrative leave during the investigation. There's still so many holes in the story that we don't know, right?
Absolutely.
And I thought more would come out, but obviously there's an investigation happening, so nobody's going to talk about this. I reached out to a bunch of people at WWE. I was told some stuff. I have no way of confirming it, so I'm not even going to go into it, but I do have a call with someone that would know something this afternoon. So
excellent.
Maybe, you know, there'll be some info here, but so John Laurinaitis is out ahead of talent relations, but guess who's in? Bruce Pritchard, the job that he hates.
Wow.
I feel bad for Bruce. He just had surgery, right?
Right, right.
Bruce just had surgery. You know, it's a lot of responsibility to take on. Bruce is now named the head of talent relations on top of other responsibilities that he has. Wild. wild shuffling, but it seems like I made the joke on We're Live Pal, and I said, if JR was available, he would have been brought back for this position.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
I think Vince only knows like six people.
Wasn't he arguably like the best at talent relations?
Yes, arguably the best at that. Well, yeah, look at that whole OVW class of 2002 was all him.
They're all layups.
You know, like Mick Foley was a JR hire. Still with Steve Austin, so was The Rock. You know, he has a great track record, but this is bonkers. This is bonkers stuff that they really, yeah. I mean, this shows something, right? TV, on TV, off TV. They really don't have a solid succession plan for when, you know, someone gets hurt on TV or someone leaves right. the company. It's like, this is what we have and this is what we work with. And you're putting Bruce Prichard back into a position that he hated in the 90s. You have Stephanie McMahon being CEO and chairwoman, something that she was probably groomed to do her entire adult life, but
for sure.
But comes at a really bizarre time with Vince having to step down due to the investigation happening and Steph leaving the company, getting buried for weeks to the media. So this is a bonkers story.
It's really nuts. And, you know, it's going to unfold, obviously, slowly. And then the public, there's rumblings that the public's going to find out some like gnarly business. You know, but yeah. Again, who knows? They're millionaires. Everybody's a millionaire, and we're just talking about them.
Tens and hundreds of millions. If we're not, you
know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you know, it's yikes. So that's we'll see what happens. You know, Michael Hayes should just become the CEO.
That'd be amazing.
Point. Yeah, Michael, I would love Michael Hayes to run that company. Can you imagine that board Dude, meeting?
That would be amazing if he just shows like Freebird's entrance shows up Monday Night Raw. He's like, I'm in charge now.
From now on, it's my show.
Monday Night Hayes or whatever, dude.
Monday and then he just sits
there, for 45 minutes just staring into the camera.
That
Somebody
is the funniest,
bring me a taco.
That's the funniest visual I've ever heard of. Tim White, well-known WWE referee, worked there from 1985 to 2009, passed away at 68 years old. He was really known as Andre's handler for many, many years. He worked in the back, was a great referee, fantastic referee. And we also had David Heppner.
Very sad, yeah.
Yeah. What's going on here? Very sad stuff. No, I can't see the notes. Huh, you can see him?
Yeah, I think okay,
there we go.
Yeah, I can see the notes. Should we continue or are you still lost in the ether?
No, I'm back. Okay.
Okay. You got it. Yeah, I thought remember that time that MG like accidentally smashed the keyboard with his elbow?
Oh, and I lost my mind.
Obliterated the notes.
Yeah, so two very sad passings. Our thoughts are with the families. Rich, where do you want to go?
Let's talk about this Triple H thing. So Triple H is back in the PC. He's been overheard telling people like, hey, I'm back again, which is pretty cool. Fantasy, fanboy, booking. I want to see this guy be in charge of creative on the main roster.
Oh, of course. I mean, we saw what he did with NXT, right? But in their eyes, it wasn't what they needed, right? Because the biggest thing I keep hearing is, who's the biggest star that came out of NXT the last couple of years? Who's the star? And listen, that argument, it's so ass backwards, right? Like, they create stars internally, and then they get moved up to the main roster, and then they just don't do anything with them. It's like saying, like, well, look at all these stars at WCW, you know, like, it's almost the same thing. Like, you know, you're a big name, you go to another promotion, and they're like, oh, yeah, it just doesn't work for us. You disappeared, Rich.
Oh, no.
You're black. It's nothing.
Oh, no. Oh, no. That's it. Keep talking. I got to fix this.
All right. You fix this while I get this going. So, you know, I don't know what this means for Triple H being back in sense of running the Performance Center, running developmental, running NXT. Internally, everything I've heard is that their goal is this NXT version. But listen, a lot of the people that were put in place there that made these decisions have kind of shifted away, right? Bruce Prichard was kind of had his hands in here in the beginning when they went to NXT 2.0. He has way more responsibilities. I don't think Vince McMahon has any time right now to concentrate on NXT. Hunter being back with Sean down there is the way to do it. But do they veer away from what they've been doing? I don't know. I don't know the answer there. But I hope, you know, it'd be great to have him back. But it does sound like he has gained more power within the company, because when he came back, there wasn't much going on. He didn't really have a lot of power. He was just getting the wheel going. But now with McMahon out, Steph back, you know, in power in a CEO position, this is kind of a moment that you want to use to get all the stuff that you want to do. I think we're kind of approaching that. So since we're talking about Vince, let's go into SmackDown while Rich is getting the camera going. Vince McMahon opened up the show. He started it off with just the tagline for WWE, then now forever. And then he says, and most importantly, together. And he left. That Vince appearance was bizarre, but the crowd ate it up. They absolutely loved it. What did you think of Vince on SmackDown?
Yo, that was weird.
It was weird, right?
Like he basically came out and was like,
what scandal?
Wrestling, huh?
And that was it. And then he did it on Monday, right? Like, I don't want to go down all the stories here for SmackDown Raw, but he came out, he did that thing. The crowd loved every minute of it, right? Like, and everybody knows the story. It's a mega story. Nobody gave a crap. And he came out, and he did, and then he just left. And then we went into that bizarre promo from Matt Riddle talking about how much he loves Randy Orton. You know, we went into that, and then we had that great match. We had Roman Reigns and Matt Riddle in a fantastic match. After the match, Roman got on the mic and said no one was left and he was leaving. And here comes Brock Lesnar for the 800th time. So right now, Brock versus Roman was made for SummerSlam. It's the last man standing match. What do you think of this?
Do you care? I want to know if you care about this. I don't want to poo-poo wrestling at all.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of done
with this match.
With them two together, you know?
Dude, I'm same boat, right? Like, I like both of them, right? Like, I don't have this Brock Lesnar hatred that a lot of people do. I get why he is extremely beneficial for that company. Realistically, like you look at their sales, their merch, their draws. Like Brock does well for them, but
he's always a good surprise.
He's a great surprise.
Yeah,
but I mean him and Roman for the 500th time, because this is the well that you go to when you dry the other one.
Or the other one's injured. Yeah,
or the other one's injured. But I mean, there's so many other people they could have put a match with, right? There's so many other people in this company.
100%. But you know, like this is one of those conflicts, and not poo-pooing on WWE, but this is one of those conflicts that we run into every so often on the show, where it's that stuff is probably not for us anymore. You know what I mean? It's for the kids and the families in the audience who can't get enough of Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar, because these are these two giant dudes hitting each other, right? For us, we're like, it's been done to death. Give us something new.
You know what I would want to see?
Go ahead.
Okay. Use this moment to elevate somebody that's on the cusp, right? Like, sure. Matt Riddle, you did that on SmackDown. Fine. Great. But use this moment to find somebody that could maybe put up a little bit of a fight to Roman. And, you know, you could use the story that, like, Roman wasn't ready. He was planning to face Randy Orton. He wasn't ready for this opponent or something like that.
Mm.
And you make it into, like, oh, my God, this guy could maybe beat I mean, everybody will know he's not going to beat him, but you could come close and make a new star. You could use that.
Absolutely.
But they, you know, they need to sell a stadium, and that's not going to sell a stadium. Brock Lesnar might sell a stadium with Roman.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, I think if Randy was in this position, it was a perfect time for him and Reigns. You know, I think Randy has had a resurgence of his career.
For sure.
With a younger generation of fan, which is really funny. Because the people that are clamoring for Randy Orton are not like the 25 to 30-year-olds. It's a much younger demo. Like, the kids love Randy Orton. And this guy's been there for 20 years.
I think it's because he's a gamer.
You think that's why? Probably.
I think that's why. I think he appeals to like that younger demographic because he's got kids of his own. So he still has like that. And like, he's got a bunch of kids. I think it's that youthfulness that kind of comes across in an odd way. He would have been a great choice. I would go back to the well, and, you know, seeing as Cody's injured, you don't want to go and do the Seth Roman thing just yet again. Brock's a little, you know, like we just said how we felt about Brock. Cena, bring Cena back.
Cena's back.
Three marquee matches with Roman.
You're saying you should have put Cena in that Roman match.
Yeah. I think that would have been more fun.
But that was a match last SummerSlam, right? Wasn't that it?
Yeah. Was it? And then Cena. Yeah, it's the one we were at, right?
Yeah.
And then Brock showed up at the end. So either, like, all roads lead to Brock Lesnar.
Always. Raw also had the Vince McMahon treatment at the beginning of the show. Came out, nearly fell up the stairs and down the stairs.
Yeah.
The crowd went nuts for him, you know, and he said that John Cena's returning, and that was it.
Right.
Dana.
Wrestling is back.
Yeah.
And I want to introduce you to the new chairman of the board, Michael P.S. Hayes.
Like, what, Vince? Hey, guys.
Guys, I've been waiting under the ring for 3 hours just so to hear that announcement.
Oh, is that how he comes out? He comes out from under the ring?
He's under the ring curtain, like the ring apron.
He comes out, he's like dusting himself off, and he gets in the ring.
Would love that.
Half-eaten plate of food in his hand, too.
We love that. Rhea Ripley was announced that she's not clear for Money in the Bank. It seems like she had a concussion. She knocked out a bunch of teeth. That also happened a couple weeks ago. Okay. Riddle lost to Omos.
Right.
After that fantastic match on Friday, he loses to Omos. And this is what I mean when I say, why? Who's booking? Why? You just elevated him. You just brought him to another level.
Even
gradually,
Steven, man.
Even, I mean, but why is he losing to Omos? Why?
Again, even Stevens, they blew him up, and then they were like, we're going to feed him to the guy we really want to blow up.
But nobody cares for Omos. Nobody at this moment.
You don't care?
At this moment, right, today. Maybe it's next week. But today, there's nobody that's clamoring for Omos to win the world title or win the Money in the Bank.
Yeah, I would love to see that, to be honest.
Just climbing that thing?
Climbing like he would need a smaller ladder, which I think would just be like a funny visual.
Oh my god. Elias returned. Him and Ezekiel had a moment in a couch backstage. I thought that was done well.
Done very well. Yeah. I still get a kick out of it. It's been like 2 months and I still get a kick out of it.
Lashley, he's writing stuff, so I'm going to skip over this. I have no idea what he's filling in. Asuka beats Becky Lynch to qualify for the Money in the Bank. All right. So we're done there. Rich, let's go into AEW news.
Let's do it. Bryan Danielson started the show. Not cleared to compete at Forbidden Door. Sad versus Zack Sabre Jr. But he has his own replacement who he says is arguably another world-class technical wrestler.
You want me to break the news?
I want you to break the news, yes.
Shane McMahon. Isn't that what everybody wants to see? Him and his big potato head come out and do the little dance?
Little shimmy?
Wearing an AEW jersey? Like a baseball jersey that says AEW and it says McMahon on the back? Oh, my God.
It would break the internet. And honestly, I'm so easy that would do it for me.
You know what would happen?
Yeah, this is amazing.
Dude, you know what would happen at that moment? I would get sucked back into the alternate universe that I have come from.
Because
this is in my universe. There was a collision. I don't belong in this universe. That would just bring me back. I would know that would be the sign that something's off.
And you just get sucked back through a wormhole. Yeah.
I get just, whoa! And I just end up in a universe where, you know, there's no AEW and WWE is the only programming.
Is the, what's your alternate universe? Is there only like one difference?
No, it's like little things. Tiny little
like things. Like you have one gray hair in your beard?
I have one gray hair. Maybe I'm bald. Maybe I'm suffering.
Everything, the tiny things would, and everything's just the same. That would be hysterical. But seriously, who do you think it is?
You know, a lot of people, like, immediately I thought Cesaro. I thought, yes, Claudio when like he was saying it. And then for a split second, I thought maybe Johnny. And I'll tell you why, right? Like, I was actually a little confused, and I want to know what you thought of this. He brought up, and in the chat room too, he brought up, obviously, Forbidden Door and Zack Sabre Jr., right?
Yes.
And then he went into Blood and Guts, and he said this guy's going to represent him in both.
Yes.
Right? Isn't that what he said?
I think it's going to be Cesaro.
But see, here's where it got a little off for me. He said not only is he like a world-class whatever, but he also, like, he alluded that he's good at these, like, fights. That's why I thought Johnny, right, Gargano, because Blood and Guts is War Games, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. That's how I connected it, because...
Okay.
Listen, I could be wrong, and maybe I read it wrong. I didn't go back and listen to it again, but when he brought up that he could do this and he could do that, I immediately thought Johnny Gargano.
Would you consider, like, and we're going to be very specific here, would you consider Johnny Gargano one of the greatest technical wrestlers in the world?
Would you consider Cesaro?
Yes.
Okay.
I would. I think the way they limited him on WWE TV was a shame. I think since they have a shared history of being such close friends in real life, and also the Eddie Kingston factor where Claudio was his former roommate, and they have, like, quote unquote heat,
yeah,
with each other, and like now, comedy and heat, now, basically.
But and now Danielson and Kingston have heat also,
right? So I think Cesaro makes sense. You know who I would love? Samoa Joe.
Yeah, but would that be a big surprise?
That's true. Yeah, you know, you want like a big surprise.
I think Joe is the one that makes total sense if you're not re-signing somebody.
Right. Right.
You know, what if it's Regal? Imagine if it's Regal coming back.
Dude, I would do a backflip.
You would do a backflip for Regal.
I would do a backflip for Regal. I think that guy's great.
I would go Cesaro. If I'm going to be safe, I'm going to say it's Cesaro. I think he belongs in that crew. I mean, he is world class. He's a fantastic wrestler.
Yeah.
You know, somebody else said Biff Busick, but I don't think anybody would recognize who Biff Busick is.
Kyle actually texted me that yesterday. He was Biff like, Busick? I think it's going to be Usyk, and I was like, I don't think they'd put him on a, like, they debut him on a big stage like that, you know?
Yeah. I don't think so. Like, some people are saying Timothy Thatcher. I don't think, I think Thatcher, you know, I gotta tell you, man, Timothy Thatcher was, like, most improved for me.
Yes, yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
Like, do you remember when we would go see him in Evolve? Like, I would always say, like, what a fantastic wrestler, but, like, he would be jumbled up because his style was not as high impact as everybody else's.
Very old
school. So people... Very old school, like, and it was like, you know, the ebbs and flows. It was too much of a drop for me. But they going to WWE and NXT, they really rehabbed him and they made him into something and they gave him a great character. You know, he's this mean mugging dude.
Yeah,
very much enjoyed it. I don't know. So you're going Cesaro. I'm gonna go Cesaro also.
I'm gonna go Cesaro. We got some Joker messages yesterday saying Zack Sabre Jr. isn't a real wrestler because I've never heard of him.
I mean, by the way, that is part of the problem here, right? There's a lot of people don't know these guys, like Tanahashi.
I agree with that, but this pay-per-view is specifically geared
for the geeks, for us.
This is for the smart fans, right? Even though the card's a little weird, which we'll get into, this one's for the geeks. So I responded to the guy. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, well, he doesn't work for WWE, so he doesn't count. And I'm like, listen, man, Zack Sabre Jr. is 6'8 and 300 pounds. He looks just like Hulk Hogan.
Is that what you wrote?
And then he blocked us. so ridiculous.
Right, by the way, Chris Van Vliet got engaged. Congratulations to Chris.
Yeah, I saw that he filmed it.
Yeah, he filmed the whole thing. Good for him. He's part of the spectrum. He's part of the Zarian timeline. In every universe, I become a different version of Chris Van Vliet.
Mm-hmm. Chris Van Vliet, John Alba,
me. Like, it's different universes.
Veer.
Yeah, Veer's on that spectrum as well. What else do we got? Let's see. Here we go. Rampage. Let's talk about this before we go into the whole Dynamite show.
Sure.
Rampage drew the lowest rating ever in its history, okay, at the 10 p.m. time slot. 331,000 viewers. Also, Dynamite last week totally shit the bed with the numbers. I have Dave went on like a 30-minute rant about this on Observer Radio last week or early this week. He couldn't understand. Like, he was trying, dude, this guy is trying to find Pepe Silvia. You know what I mean? He has that. He has that board. He's like painting things. The numbers were terribly low with no real explanation as to why. So we'll see what happens today if there's going to be a bump. But like, to go from like in the nines to the sevens, you lost 200,000 viewers on Dynamite, and it was a decent Dynamite. It wasn't a bad Dynamite.
You mean Rampage?
Dynamite last week and Rampage. Rampage was a decent Rampage also, but. Yeah. Rampage, I could understand a little bit more. 10 p.m., it's the summer, people are going out, but 331,000 viewers, not great. Hugo Savinovich, on his podcast, mentioned that Andrade was supposed to face Will Ospreay at Forbidden Door, but it was stopped due to CMLL and AAA's inability to work together in any capacity.
It's so ridiculous.
Isn't that ridiculous? Like, first of all... Listen, I get it, right? Like, Andrade's contracted to AEW.
Right.
Like, this is a great example of if WWE was doing something like this, you know what they would turn around and say to AAA and CMLL?
You're
Excuse
fired.
Me? Who the F were you? I think this is stupid. This is really dumb. This has nothing to do with CMLL or AAA. This is a contracted employee of AEW, an independent contractor, I'm sorry, of AEW, possibly having a huge dream match. How does this hurt anybody? He's not wrestling a CMLL guy or a AAA guy. He's wrestling Will Ospreay in New Japan.
Very, very bizarre.
Stupid. Stupid old school politics. Ridiculous. Mm-hmm. All right. Now we can go into the show. We mentioned Forbidden Door and Blood and Guts. He handpicked his replacement. That promo got a little weird at the end.
I liked it.
Because the crowd got, like, they didn't know, like, he was a babyface, and he was, like, a little bit of a heel, and he wouldn't tell people who it is. So they got, like, a little confused. And I think Daniel's, like, you can see it on his face. He's like, all right, whatever. All right, and then where do we go from here?
So Orange Cassidy and Roppongi Vice beat Will Ospreay and Aussie Open. And then after the match, you had Cobb and Ocon attack. FTR comes and makes the save. All right. That was a fun segment. Up next, a wild promo from Christian Cage.
Oh, yeah. Heel Christian.
Oh, my God. He went there. I can't believe he went there with mentioning Luke Perry.
Yeah.
Dying and also being disappointed in Jungle Boy. That's rough.
You may want a father figure, but your father's dead.
And then Luchasaurus came out to try to beat him up. And then he's like, nah, man, I know you're a dinosaur. I'm the only one who believes you.
Is that what he whispered in his ear?
I think he said that. He was like, I know you're a real dinosaur, dude.
He's like, listen, all these other guys, they think you're an effing joke. They're like, why does this dude think he's a dinosaur? But I believe you're a dinosaur. I know you're a dinosaur.
And then he's like, all right, cool.
So what is it? So Luchasaurus is now like brainwashed by Christian because he needs a father figure and he needs, you know, a mentor. So he's going to be his strongman now. Listen, Christian does great with that. Remember when he had Tyson Tomko as his muscle?
Oh, yeah.
I thought that run in WWE in like 2005 right before he left, he was on fire. People were so into this gimmick. And then he's like, F this, I'm out of here. Okay, I'm okay with this. This is cool. This is something different for Christian. And he had some great points. He's like, listen, everybody's talking about money. And that was obviously a shot at MJF, right? You're talking about money and you're talking about how much money I'm making. You may have good matches, but nobody talks about it after a week, after 2 weeks. Talk to me when people are talking about your matches 25 years later or whatever he said, you know?
Excellent,
I thought that was
excellent. Point.
Great promo. Great point. Great promo. I was into it. It worked for me.
I think he should come out to George Michaels' father figure.
That'd be great too.
We have the AEW All Atlantic Championship qualifier. Malachi Black defeated Penta. Pac came out, and then Miro came out. Miro cut a promo. Great. I think this is going to be a nice lead in for Sunday. And
this
then,
was the most coherent Miro promo.
It was
out of all these, like, out of the Redeemer promos. This was very coherent. He's like, pretty much, he said, all he wanted to do was bang his hot wife, you know, and just hang out. And these people have pulled him back to this.
I enjoy the guy. I think Sunday night's going to be
my hot wife.
And then a blast from the past, Silas Young.
Yeah, and Hangman in a big. I was into this when I saw Silas come in.
Same here. Absolutely. What's his gimmick? The Last Real Man, Silas Young.
The Last Real Man, Silas. Yeah, yeah.
So good. He looks like if Butcher and
yes.
I forgot the name of the other dude had a kid.
Butcher and Blade?
No, not Butcher and Blade. He looks like if Jake Roberts and the Butcher had a kid.
Love it. That was cool. I thought that was cool to see Silas Young on there. Adam Cole was on commentary throughout this. So here's where it gets interesting. After the match, Jay White comes out. So Cole's cutting a promo, essentially talking crap to Paige. Here comes Jay White. Jay White says to Cole, listen, I know we're cool, but you're not getting this title shot. He makes his way to the ring, and he tells him, Paige, you're not getting it either. And then, Rich, it happened.
Oh, the coin dropped. I lost my shit. Okada showed up looking like he just came back from the movies. Very, very relaxed.
Super. Do you think Tony Khan's like, listen, you're debuting in this company? Put on a white shirt.
Put on a t-shirt, buddy.
Put Everybody on a white plain t-shirt. Everybody just, that's how you debut in this company, a plain white t-shirt.
I mean, he's not going to, that's the thing, I think, with him. He's not going to show up with the effing robe and all the shit. But it's kind of fun. he's like, all right, let's wear what I'm wearing.
I just want to break this down, okay? So I'm watching this. Freaking great, Okada's coming. And I always wonder, like, okay, you're taking one of these dudes, right? And you're putting them in the AEW ring or WWE ring. And, you know, every promotion shoots a little different. Every promotion has a different ring. You know, things look different. This man looked like he was standing in a ring that was like 5 feet by 5 feet. He was a giant.
Big dude.
You know, it's interesting because with New Japan, they don't capitalize on that ever when they shoot this guy, right? Like, they kind of shoot, like, up. You know what I mean?
Like, it's the way that New Japan... It's sports-oriented the way they shoot.
Yeah, like, it's zoomed in more. It's shot up a little bit. Like, it's very different. But in this moment, in that ring, this man made everybody look minuscule, including guys that are somewhat tall, like Jay White and Paige.
Yeah, he's 6'2", 6'3", right?
He's big. He's a big boy. But,
you know, probably all these guys put lifts in their shoes, so he's probably like just that extra little bit taller.
He's 6'3". So, yeah, maybe he's coming out there. It's like 6'4", 6'5". Holy moly. Yeah, he's a big dude. He's a huge guy.
Sunday night, who takes it?
Oh, man, who takes it Sunday night? You know what? I think Okada should take it.
Nice and safe. Yeah, I'm of two minds with that because that's what we got at the MSG show, right? Like, they already showed us that Jay White versus Okada works and that Okada winning sends the crowd home happy, right?
Or you could do Okada, you know, like sliding in and cheat. Jay White, you know, doing some like slime ball move where he slides in, cheats, and wins, and that's it.
I think Cole is eating that pin like nobody's business.
Yeah.
I think he's taking everybody's finisher. I really want to say Hangman. Imagine.
Yeah. Maybe Hangman wins the IWGP World Championship.
That would be amazing.
Listen, they could do something cool like that. Hangman is kind of, they don't really have anything for him right now, right?
Exactly. He's in the perfect position for that belt. Do a little New Japan tour. Do the AEW stuff.
Hey, listen, that New Japan rub. New Japan would get that rub from them, and that would be an improvement for New Japan, because right now, they're not an equal promotion. AEW is far ahead as far as, you know, branding and recognition and eyeballs and everything like that. I like this. I liked Okada being there. I think it was the right move that they had him on this card. It was really important for him to be on this card. Now, whether or not a four-way should have been the way to do it, they kind of fell into it.
Yeah. Do you think Kenny shows up
to show up? No, I don't know. I don't. Well, remember, he's really, I don't know what state he's in.
Let's say Hangman wins. End of the show. Kenny shows up, points to the belt.
Yeah. Why not? You know, I think that would make sense. And everybody's safe. Yeah.
That would make sense storyline wise, right? Because that's who Hangman took that belt off of. The AEW title, right?
Yeah.
And then to end the show last night was a tag team match.
Okay.
A lot of fun. Jon Moxley, Tanahashi beating Chris Jericho and Lance Archer.
Hold on. We skipped over stuff.
Oh, did we?
Yeah. Tony Storm defeated Marina Shafir. That butt attack, that hip attack that Tony does,
yeah,
gives me a concussion.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
She's going like 500 miles an hour. I mean, yeah. You know what? Kudos to her for not killing somebody.
Oh, for sure.
She's like speeding with that hip attack. And then obviously we'll go into, and then after that, Thunder Rosa made the save after the heels attack. Storm and Rosa had a face off, setting up for their match. Okay, now let's go into this main event.
Jon Moxley, Hiroshi Tanahashi beating Chris Jericho and Lance Archer. What a nutty, nutty ending. I think from them having that stare off at the end of the show shouldn't
too
have
long.
Been that long.
Too long.
I think because the show ran a little bit short, the cameras didn't cut away to make you be like, oh shit, this is happening.
So seeing Tanahashi it wrestle like an American style somewhat was yeah. strange. Because, like, he changed his whole thing, right?
Yes.
Yeah. He was wrestling a little bit differently. It was not bad. It was just, like,
nah.
A little surreal. Like, it was, like, the first time you saw this. I thought it was a fun match. Anything Tanahashi does, because he's, like, he's not human. He's not real, right?
No.
He's made in a lab, too, like John Cena.
Absolutely.
John Cena, Okada, Tanahashi, Randy Orton, all made in a wrestling lab.
Absolutely.
These guys are the epitome of perfection for what they do. Visually, physically. I thought it was cool, man. I thought it was a nice main event. Now, you're absolutely right. The ending was so freaking uncomfortable for me.
It was just like one of those awkward things. I think there was a slight timing issue with the show yesterday, and that's where you really saw it. But listen, I'm looking forward to that match. Now, does Tanahashi take that belt? Hangman, New Japan title. Tanahashi, AEW title.
So when is he scheduled to go back to Japan?
Imagine if he's just like, I'm never leaving. I'm never leaving America.
I'm here to stay. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm curious about this match. I'm curious about their styles. You know, Tanahashi's a traditionalist.
Yeah.
You've heard him talk about, you know, like the style. He's not a big fan of like Kenny Omega's style, or wasn't for a long time. We've heard that criticism. So I'm curious how they mesh. These two. Lance Archer being there was interesting. And I wonder if it was like, okay, he's kind of a New Japan guy. You know, let's put him in there.
Yeah, for sure.
Is that what it was?
I think so. And I think the card for Monday is why for Sunday is the card we're getting. You know, because a lot of these guys have worked with a lot of these New Japan guys. And I think on New Japan's end, they're like, yeah, we want to work with the safest guys you got. You know, and it's a shame that, you know, you're not getting like Hobbs and Starks on the card versus somebody, or a lot of that AEW roster, you know?
So, AEW Rampage 624 for this Friday. We got Hook versus DKC. The DKC. Andrade versus Rey Fénix. Serena Deeb and Mercedes Martinez in action. Jeff Cobb and Cash Wheeler. Where is Roosh?
Yeah, who knows, man? Where's Brian Cage?
Well, Brian Cage has been... You know, he's disappeared. You got 15 minutes, Rich?
Yeah.
All right. AEW Dynamite Blood and Guts obviously has been announced. That's a big match. We'll find out who all the participants are on Sunday. Now let's go into the Forbidden Door show. The buy-in, Max Caster and the Gun Club, which I love, versus the New Japan Dojo. I think this is a great opener, right?
Good young boy
young
match.
Boys are great young boys match. Great young boys match. All right.
Absolutely.
I'm cool with that. The Bucks. We got Bullet Club, the Young Bucks, one night only, back in the Bullet Club. El Fantasmo and Hikuleo versus the Dudes with Attitudes. Sting, Darby Allin, Shingo Takagi, and Hiromu Takahashi.
This might be a show stealer.
You think this might be a show stealer?
I think this might be a show stealer. I think this definitely might be a show. I don't know why. I just have that
gut feeling.
Is
it Hiromu Takahashi or is it the other Hiromu?
No, it's Hiromu. It's, you know.
It's the other... It's Hiromu, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody messaged me. He's like, I don't think it's Hiromu. You know what? Hiromu's over, man. Who doesn't love
very
him?
Very over. Very over. And, you know, it's Sting. Like, this is going to be, like, such a great match. Like, how awesome must it feel to be any of these dudes? Like, El Phantasmo. Do you think El Phantasmo was ever like, one day I'm going to wrestle a match with Sting?
I don't think anybody in that, anybody that's been in a ring with Sting now has thought, oh, man, I'm going to, Yujiro is who I was thinking about. Yes, Joel Pearl. Yeah. Yujiro is who I was thinking about. I think it's, like, really cool for these guys to be like, oh, man, I used to watch this guy on Nitro, and now I'm in a freaking ring with him on TNT, on TBS, you know? It's like,
and he's kicking my ass.
And he's kicking my ass at 60-something years old. So very cool. Where were we? Okay, Zack Sabre Jr. versus Danielson's Choice. Let's say it's Claudio. That'll be a great match.
Claudio. Yeah,
and Claudio. A great debut for Claudio. Chris Jericho, Minoru Suzuki, Sammy Guevara, and Eddie Kingston versus... Chris Jericho, Minoru Suzuki, Sammy Guevara versus Eddie Kingston, Wheeler Yuta, and Shota Umino.
Your favorite. So excited to see Shooter.
Yeah. IWGP US Championship, Will Ospreay versus Orange Cassidy. I don't care for this match.
I think it's going to be good.
I get Ospreay. I get Orange Cassidy. I get why it works. I get why people love it. Is this that match you want to see on this card? No. And if you tell me it is, you're lying to me.
Well, no. I'm going to say, like, I think this is going to be the sleeper.
It was a royal you.
Royal you?
Yeah, not you. You think this might be a sleeper? I mean,
it's going to be a sleeper.
God, I hope so.
I think you're going to get a limited amount of the Orange Cassidy gimmick, right? Or, listen, what if Will Ospreay drops him in 2 minutes and then calls out another challenger? And then somebody else, like, dope shows up, you know?
All right, let's plow through this, and then we got a couple questions here we got to answer. IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team Championship and the Ring of Honor Championship. United Empire, Jeff Cobb and Great Okan versus FTR versus Roppongi Vice. Very cool. AEW Women's World Championship, Thunder Rosa, Toni Storm. I hope they have a great match because Thunder Rosa needs that right now. She needs really good match.
I think Thunder Rosa should drop the belt to Toni, and for some reason in my head, Thunder Rosa chasing the title works better than her having it.
Yeah, me too. I agree with you. AEW All Atlantic Championship to crown the first champion, Malakai Black, Pac, Miro, and Tomohiro Ishii in this match. This should be a great match.
Oh, so good. I think Ishii's going to kick the crap out of everybody.
Yeah. IWGP World Heavyweight Championship, Jay White versus Kazuchika Okada versus Hangman Page versus Adam Cole. Should be a great match. This is going to be a fantastic match.
So good.
Great four-way. And is this the first title? Like, I guess this is the first world title four-way we've seen in this company. It's not their world title, but it is a world title. Yeah. Interim AEW World Championship, Jon Moxley versus Tanahashi as the main event. Very cool stuff. Very, very cool stuff.
It's going to be fun. Sunday's show is going to be, I think it's going to deliver, and I do think we're going to get a lot of surprises. Like we usually do, you know, during those AEW pay-per-views.
Yeah. Q&A time. You want to go into questions really quickly?
Yeah, we got a couple of super chats here.
Ooh, let's see
this. This is from James Mordor, $4.99. Thank you very much. So Luchasaurus is Christian's big.
He is, I guess, right now.
Because Christian said, dude, I get it. You're a dinosaur.
You're a dino.
I believe you.
I believe you. You're a dino.
This is $9.99 from Ryan Martins. Regarding Steph, I wouldn't be surprised if this move becomes permanent. That's usually how these corporate moves go, especially if more comes out, which I think there's more to drop.
I don't know if this is permanent. I don't even know if she wants this position right now. I would say another couple of weeks, you know, while they do that investigation, there's you know, now there's lawsuits piling up. Apparently five people investigating this. So obviously there are going to be lawsuits. There's going to be for the stock price. They're going to sue for that. It's always messy. All this stuff is messy. I don't know if Steph's going to be there permanently. I honestly see Vince coming back.
Okay. Another $4.99 from Ryan Martins. It's obvious Brian is talking about one man, Timothy Thatcher.
I mean, I don't think most people would care if it is Thatcher. I think this needs to be a bigger name. Cesaro would be a big name.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think Cesaro would. You have to think like, okay, big debut. Who would blow the roof off the place, right? I think Cesaro would blow the roof.
I think Cesaro definitely would, because I think there are so many people that want to see his potential now. You know, like beyond WWE, but also you're going to see the criticism. Oh, another WWE guy. I'm like, where do you want this guy to work? That's my question. Okay, so whenever I get that answer, like, oh well, it's another WWE guy going there. Okay, there's two promotions, guys. Like two promotions that matter. Nobody else matters. Nobody else is going to make money. You go anywhere else, you're not really making the money you're making. There are anomalies, obviously, in Ring of Honor. Maybe someone's going to make a couple bucks, or Impact or New Japan. But where do you want these guys to work? Can you imagine? You've done this for 20 years, Rich. You're a photographer for 20 freaking years.
Mm-hmm.
There's only two companies you could work for your specific skill set.
Right.
And then people are like, how dare you go to that company? Oh, that company, all they do is hire from the other company. Well, yeah. That's every industry. That's how work is, you know?
That's how work works.
That's how work works. If you specialize in an industry, you're only going to go to your competitor if you want to get hired in the same thing, because where else are you going to go?
Exactly.
So, I think it's Cesaro.
Yeah. This is a $10 super chat from Shreer Hashemi. Hashtag multiverse of Zarian. Hashtag Matt Men OnlyFans. Do you see Okada or Jay White going to WWE in the near future? If so, how would you book them versus Vince?
I don't think Okada would ever go. Jay White could. I mean, he could go there. He's young. He's tall. He has a look.
Yeah, very young. He's, you know, but his promos are what makes him, and I don't think he can cut those sizzling promos in WWE, you know?
Like a WWE promo, yeah. I don't know, man. I think he has a lot of upside. The stop and go has been really weird with New Japan.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
sure.
Last 2 years have been weird, so I want him to kind of settle in and see what's going on here.
We got another 10 from Shreer here. Where are they going with this new Miro character? Could he become the god of professional wrestling?
Isn't that what he's kind of saying? That, you know, like, he's like God turned on him, right? Isn't that his whole thing? He's
right.
He's like a fallen angel. I guess.
Imagine
that's what
if
he
the
is.
Reveal is that, you know, it's Christopher Daniels is like
his kid?
Yeah. Like, like reverse. Like, he's Christopher Daniels is like his higher power. That would be interesting.
Oh, yeah. That would be great. I love that.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Let's see. This is from Mark. So Okada takes the belt, and then Omega confronts him at the end.
It depends on when Omega's coming back. I hope. Yeah. I mean, I would love that. But now, you know, we don't even know what his status is for All Out, which is wild to think he's been out so long.
Yeah, I think he's healing up, man. He's gonna come like Cesaro's gonna show up shredded. I think when Kenny comes back, he's gonna show up like Triple H, like early 2000s.
Or he's just playing video games and he's like, I'm done with this. And he's like Thor in the last
Endgame.
Yeah, in Endgame.
That would be his thing.
He's all like chunky and he doesn't give a crap. He's just Doritos on his shirt.
Like chunky Kenny Omega. That would be
chunky Kenny.
All right, this is from OK Johnny, but would Cesaro fit in with the BBC? BCC?
No. Raw, BBC is something very different.
the BBC, like, you know, like the British...
Yeah. Oh, you mean like that? Okay, got it. Yeah, the BCC. Yeah.
What'd you think I meant?
Oh, I don't know, man. I don't know. These acronyms. Yeah, I think he fits in for sure.
Yeah, tough
Regal
dude.
Regal loves him.
Big.
Tough dude, European style of wrestling.
Regal, like, it's whatever, you know? This is from BC Knight. Will MJF show up or interfere with a match at Forbidden Door?
I don't think so.
Interesting. Probably not, right?
Probably not. No. I don't think so.
This is from Pratik. Why are we seeing the same ring ropes and stage sets for every AEW pay-per-view?
Of course. Thank you, Pratik, for that.
Give me 1 second. Let's do one more. A couple more questions, and then we're out of here.
Yeah.
This is from Blackula on Twitch.
Great. Look at that. Oh, look at that avatar.
Very good. Very good.
Very good. He wins it.
Cesaro wrestled Regal's retirement match and was teaming with Danielson before they left WWE.
There you go. Thank you, Blackula.
Yes, thank you, Blackula.
Dude, I need that image. I need that picture. I collect vampire images on social media. Like, if I see like a vampire that I like, I save them. I save the image. I have a folder and it says Dracula and vampires.
And that's it. And you just look through them every so often.
Every now and then, I'll just go through it. I'm like, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
What if it ended up being Bray Wyatt, Danielson's replacement?
But what kind, like a technical, like an underwear boy, Bray Wyatt?
Like Husky Harris.
Yeah, you know what? He should come back as the greatest technical wrestler of all time, and that's his new gimmick.
I would love that.
Love it. All right, what else?
Let's see. I feel like we could end on Thank You, Blackula.
Okay, you know what? Fantastic. I love it. That was a great question. The picture was great. The statement was great, and I think we could end it now.
Really,
guys,
good for us.
That's it. We are done. We are finished. Joe. Oh, Joe says, Zarian, have you heard anything about Warner owning a stake in AEW? Brandon Thurston suspected so. I heard the same thing. I haven't dug deep into it, but I know that Brandon Thurston was kind of digging into this. I'm curious to know. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if they had a little piece. You know, it's a hot commodity, and that's a possibility, very, very much so. So it's possible they have a little piece, which is a great thing for them, because you're tied in bed a little bit more.
Yeah.
All right, that's it,
it's
guys.
HBO Max money.
That's it for this week. We'll see you all next time. Wrestling Observer Live. Are you doing the show with me Sunday?
Probably. I'll have to let you know about my schedule.
All right, Wrestling Observer Live, I'll be back this Sunday talking about this pay-per-view. And then that's it. We'll see you all next week. Take care.